Marriage is not just about two people caring for one another. Marriage is a covenant relationship between God, the way that God designed it, to be between a husband and a wife. To be the form in which a family takes place, where children receive love from a loving mother and a loving father. Both are indispensable. Neither one can be dispensed with. And I don't care how many churches turn towards embracing the world's definition of marriage, we must stand firm with God on what a holy covenant marriage is and stand boldly and strongly for the truth. And understand this, the more tolerant, the more acceptance of the new definition of what marriage is becomes, the less tolerant they'll be of those who hold on to traditional marriage. Do you understand that? There is no way you can embrace darkness and at the same time allow light to exist, right? Because what happens when light is shining? It drives darkness away. Do you see this? I was reading in a devotion this morning, Richard Blackaby. Here's what he said. Man, how timely. Living a godly life will not insulate you from hardship. You know, I just want to come to Jesus and have peace all the time and not suffer anything. No, that's not what's going to happen. Paul said that the more blameless your life, the more likely you will be to be persecuted. According to Paul, listen to this from 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Man, he really missed that one, didn't he? 2,000 years ago, he didn't know what he was talking about. Do you see the reality of this becoming true in our life today? As the world increasingly embraces sin, worldly people are becoming increasingly intolerant of godliness. Darkness cannot tolerate light. The more your life illuminates the presence of Christ, the more you should expect opposition from the forces of darkness. Your Christ-like nature will be offensive to those in rebellion against Christ's lordship. Do you agree with that? Are you experiencing that? Now I want you to know, I think we are called to be tolerant and loving of those who differ in opinion from us. But I want you to know something else. We are not called to accept it. We must stand strong for the truth. We cannot compromise God's holy word with the hope that the world will somehow be more accepting of us. Jesus suffered, and he told his disciples, "You're going to suffer too. Are you ready to suffer? It's coming, folks. It's coming." Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says so, but don't worry. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't you want that peace? That peace that passes all understanding, that peace that's there. So I walk through the wilderness, through the desert place, on the road marked with suffering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's a precious peace that cannot be found anywhere, any place, any other religion, any other faith. It's found in Jesus Christ. And he wants you to know that peace. Jesus didn't promise them just peace, though. He gave them purpose. He said, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. He equips us with a purpose. Aren't you glad you have a reason for living? Let me tell you something. People that lose sight of purpose are the people that are depressed in life. They're constantly trying to find something, and they're the ones that want to give up on life. Let me tell you, don't lose sight of your purpose in Christ. Understand that he wants to use you for the furtherance of his kingdom. He wants to be glorified in your life. And as you trust in him and depend upon him, he will guide you and direct you to greater means of understanding and knowing how to do what you must do for him. In Luke 4:43, Jesus said to them, I must proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because I was sent for this purpose. Now Jesus said, I am sending you as the Father sent me. So if Jesus' purpose was to go and to deliver the salvation plan, to deliver the message of salvation to the world, what is our purpose? Deliver the message to the world. That's what we're called to do. We must understand that Jesus has called us out to be witnesses for Him and to glorify Him in all that we do. We are called to walk side by side with Jesus. We've been talking about this for a few weeks. And as we embrace Him and walk side by side with Him, we see Jesus begin to reveal Himself to a world that desperately needs Christ. Now, it's not easy. I got this from my devotion, my other devotion, Utmost for His Highest today. It is difficult to get into stride with God. Anyone notice that? I mean, how many of us would say, man, I would love to walk in stride with God? How many of you find it difficult, though? It's tough. You know why? Because as soon as we start walking with Him, we find that His pace has surpassed us before we have even taken 3 steps. He has different ways of doing things, and we have to be trained and disciplined in His ways. It was said of Jesus, He will not fail nor be discouraged, because He never worked from His own individual standpoint, but always worked from the standpoint of His Father. And we must learn to do the same. We must start looking at the world through the Father's eyes. We must start living with His purpose rather than our purpose. So it doesn't matter if your 401k lost a lot of money last month. Doesn't matter what is happening to your retirement, because you have a new purpose. It's not about retirement. It's about living for Jesus and furthering the cause of the kingdom. It's about taking the message of salvation to the world that desperately needs it. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. In every situation, in every trial, in every difficulty you face, if you're living with Christ as your purpose, it's going to work out for His good. You really believe that? Yes, I do. Now, I want you to know that doesn't mean that everything is, quote, good. What it does mean is that if I walk with His purpose in my life, no matter what the world may do to me, no matter what crisis may befall me, no matter what calamity may come, no matter how difficult life may get, it can be used by God for the good of the kingdom, if I make Him my purpose. So that in every situation, in every trial, I'm turning and looking to God. I must live on purpose for Him. And I will see God work in miraculous ways. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6-8, we are reminded of our purpose. Apollos understood what his purpose was, and Paul understood what his purpose was. Look, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in what? Purpose. So as a church, we want to make sure that everyone is fulfilling their purpose, their part in the purpose of the kingdom. Do you understand that? That's why Jeff has been doing this car show for, 14 years? Because that's what God has given him a burden for, and that's how he, one of the ministries that he sees as a way of doing the work of the gospel, to meet a group of people, a segment of people that he loves and cares about. That's why I know some of you ladies have embraced Operation Christmas Child, right? It's a burden near to your heart. And you, some of y'all probably have been shopping. We had a lady in our last church. She shopped year-round for Operation Christmas Child. She'd go, at the end of spring, and find those sales for the winter clothes and buy up everything that was there. And she'd brag about how she bought 10 pairs of jeans for $5, you know, and stuff like that. These cleansing racks where they didn't want to keep the stuff. She did it all with the idea that she was going to minister through Operation Christmas Child. What is the purpose that you have? How is God wanting you to live out in obedience to Him? How can our church help you and develop you and help you to grow and mature to fulfill His purpose for your life? Churches that are making a difference in the world, their people understand and realize that God is helping them to use their strength. He has done surveys and they've discovered that less than 50% of people believe their church is adequately using their gifts and their talents. Over 50% of people in churches feel like their abilities are not being used to the fullest. What they're best at doing is not being done. And they're not getting to participate in that. We've got to make sure that doesn't happen, right? To fulfill the purpose that God has given us, we must all look for ways to honor God and glorify God. And the church must be ready to help you do that. And then in Ephesians 3, 8 through 11, as we talk about purpose and finish this segment up, it says, "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to His eternal purpose accomplished in the Messiah, Jesus our Lord." God's purpose is that all would be saved. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would be saved. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, understand, Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And now He has given that purpose to me and to everyone that wears the name of Christian, so that we must deliver the message that Jesus is God's only Son, that He came and lived a perfect sinless life because we couldn't live a sinless life. And because of the sin of mankind, we all deserve to be separated from God. We'll be talking about that more tonight as we talk about blessed are those that are hunger and thirst for righteousness. And in the midst of them realizing and understanding that they are separated by God from this because of the sin in their lives, Jesus came and lived the perfect sinless life and died a death He did not deserve to die so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. That's why He came. That was His purpose. But He was raised from the dead after dying on that cross. And He opens up the way for eternal life to all who will trust and believe in Him in faith. If you're tired of trying to live a good enough life, if you're tired of trying to live life the way you know you need to live it, understand something. Jesus has lived it and He wants to give it to you free. By trusting and believing in the work of Jesus Christ, He'll open up the door for you to live a life you could never lead on your own. And that's the message we want you to hear today. If you've never done that, in a moment we're going to have a time of invitation. We want you to come and receive that which only Christ can give so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus wants you to know peace. He wants you to have purpose. And He will give you the power so that you can live that life. Jesus equips us with power. I love it. I love it because the very thing that I'm wanting to try to reach for and grasp for and can't get on my own, Jesus makes possible when I trust in Him and believe in Him. And He gives me the ability to do things I couldn't do by myself if I trust in Him and depend upon Him. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we trust in Him, that's what happens to us. When Jesus was beginning His ministry, he was going and he went to be baptized in the river and the Jordan, and as He went there, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Him and He went out with power. That's how He began His ministry, that the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. In the same way, the day of Pentecost, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night, and we'll really be talking about it on this coming Wednesday night. The Father sending His Spirit upon us at the day of Pentecost so that they could go out and preach with power. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes into your life and you go out in power. John 16, 7 says, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he began his ministry. Jesus does the same thing for us. He fills us with his Spirit so that we may go out in power. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Jesus wants to fill you with power. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. And as you go out in His power, you'll see Him do incredible things in your life. Aren't you glad you got the power? Aren't you glad you got the strength to say no to sin and yes to Jesus? Aren't you glad that the purpose is practical, not because of anything you bring to the table, but because of the power that Jesus has placed in you through His Holy Spirit? He wants to use you, and He has empowered you to be used by Him. Oswald Chambers went on to say in Most for His Highest today, it is God's Spirit that changes the atmosphere of our way of looking at things. And then things begin to be possible, which were before impossible. Getting into God's stride means nothing less than oneness with Him. It takes a long time to get there, but keep at it. Don't give up, because the pain is intense right now. Get on with it. And before long, you will find that you have a new vision and a new purpose. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God is there to guide us and make it possible? Look at Acts 1:8. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus equips you with power to be a witness. You say, I don't know how to share. God wants you to share, and He has empowered you to do that. Kentucky Baptist Convention is challenging us with this challenge in the upcoming year. In 2015, they want everybody that's a member of a Baptist church in Kentucky to share their faith with one person. To share their story with one person. Do you think if Kentucky Baptists do that, Kentucky will be a different state by the end of 2015? If each one of us that wears the name of Christian, that is a member of a Baptist church, goes out and just simply shares what God has done in our lives, and we'll teach you how to do it. We'll teach you. It's very simple. We don't want you to tell someone else's story. We don't want you to quote and memorize a bunch of scripture. We want you to tell simply what Jesus has done in your life and how He has changed your life. Who can debate with that? It's your experience, what Jesus has done for you. And if you simply share what Jesus has done for you, see how people will be affected. God will begin to move. He will begin to change people. Lives will be changed and people will get saved if we will be faithful in delivering the message of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, we are called not to be fearful. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. We're not timid, we're not fearful, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. You understand that God wants to speak through you and to do great things through you. Do you understand that He wants you to live life with a purpose? Rick Warren wrote a book called Purpose Driven Life, and I know Rick Warren isn't appreciated by everyone, but one of the purposes of that book was just simply to help us understand it. That we have been created with a purpose, and we are saved for a purpose. The book starts out by saying, basically, you're not important. It's what God wants to do to you that's important. This book has made a difference in many people's lives, but maybe no one's life more than Ashley Smith and Brian Nichols. You may remember the story about Ashley and Brian. Several years ago in Atlanta, he broke out of prison. I think he was getting ready to go on trial or was in the courthouse, broke out, killed four people. In the midst of trying to get away, he ran into Ashley and kidnapped her. Took her to her apartment. And as they were sitting there, and I think she made him breakfast, she said, can I read to you from my book? Can I have my devotion? I'd like to read. And she began to read from Purpose Driven Life. And Nichols was changed and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord of his life. And gave up to authorities. Now, some would say, well, man, she got lucky. No. She was living with purpose. You know what? If Nichols had not responded and killed her, you know what? She still would have lived with purpose. God has called us on mission to be unashamed, to not be fearful, but to go out boldly in the power of Jesus Christ and see how God will bring the world to Him. I want to ask you a question today as we close our sermon. I want you to if you would, just look in your notes. No one else is going to see this. There's a way of making a commitment to Him. Just sign your name to the line. I want to live my life on mission for Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to support missions. We hope you'll do that too. But I want you to live your life on mission for Christ. To understand that every second of every day, as a husband, as a father, as a child, I'm on mission. As a pastor, as a friend, as a neighbor, I'm on mission. No matter what I do, wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, I am on mission for Jesus Christ. It's the lifestyle that each and every one of us is called to live. And if we're not living it, we need to recommit ourselves to that task today. God has a purpose for you. Go out in His peace and power. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You that as servants of the living God, we have been given a responsibility that is the highest calling that anyone can have. And Lord, we're all called to live it out in different ways. Some of us are school teachers. Some of us are bus drivers. Some of us work at banks. Some of us work for the IRS. But all of us are on mission for You. Lord, wherever we go, whatever we do, we are called to live life as Christ would live it, to live life and walk side by side, oneness of spirit and purpose with Jesus Christ. And we pray that You will help us to go out in that power, in that strength, and know that You are God and know that You are working. God, I pray that today, as we come to this time of invitation, maybe there's someone here today that has not discovered their purpose in life yet. They've never made Jesus Lord of their life. They know there's more out there, but they've never experienced the changing power of Jesus. I pray that today they would come and make You Lord of their lives. Lord, there are many of us as Christians that have been resting in the sweet assurance of knowing that someday, somewhere, You're going to take us to heaven. But Lord, You haven't called us to wait for heaven. You called us to live for God, to live for the kingdom. The kingdom is not something we hope to have received someday. It's something we have already received, and now we are called to be agents on mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to fulfill that role, to fulfill our purpose in life. Lord, when Pioneer Baptist Church and its members embrace this mentality, Kenton County and the surrounding counties are going to be different. Because each one of us is empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that You will use us for Your purpose to shine Your light in the midst of darkness, loving those that reject You, loving those that embrace their sinfulness, loving those that even persecute us. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Lord, help us to take this charge seriously, to go out in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. If God called you, won't you come right now? Come right now is what you're saying. Jesus is there.